born to die, that he might give eternal life, that I might live.
Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at YankeeArnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
Jesus saved my soul that night.
Take your Bible and turn to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. There are going to be afflictions, afflictions of all kinds. Now, I didn't have to be afflicted just to teach this lesson today. But it sure did work out real good. Because you never know what's going to happen next. In the book of Philippians, I want you to look there where he says in verse 16, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to, and here's these two words, add affliction to my bonds. In other words, to make it worse on me. There's people in this world, believe it or not, and sometimes it's Christians, that want to make it hard on you. Did you know that if you serve the Lord with all your heart, you are an automatic rebuke to those who don't? And so the only way they can justify them not so involved is because you're just too spiritual and too holy. You think you're better than everybody else. So there's people who want to throw stones at those who really serve the Lord so they can pull you down to their level. And remember, anytime you go through life trying to blow out somebody else's light, you might sow a wind, but you're going to reap a whirlwind. It's going to blow out your own. And you don't become brighter just because you blow out everybody else's light. Serve the Lord with all your heart and let people be an encouragement to you and to provoke you unto good works and to do more. We should always try to see if we can do more than we've done before. I think we had a great camp, but it's only because we had some great people there and great workers, and everybody worked together, and we can do a lot of things. But that's the way it is in anything in life. But what I want you to see also there in verse 30, he says, having, and here's these two words I want you to underline, same conflict. See what he says? Having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Now he's writing from prison, and he's the guy that's trying to encourage everybody. And while he's writing in prison, he tells them some of the lessons that he's learned. You say, what kind of lesson did he learn? Well, look there in chapter 3. And he talks about some of the things he's gone through. And I just want you to see this in verse 17 of chapter 3. He says, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as you have us for examples. So we know from the Word of God, you and I are supposed to walk because there's people that are watching us. And we're supposed to be the right kind of examples. And then he says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So there are people, and sometimes these people know the Lord. There's people who know the Lord, but they're the enemies of Christ because they do whatever they can to prohibit, to add affliction, conflict to your bonds. In other words, you're having a rough day and they just seem like they just got to add a little bit more to it. They never seem to have just the right words to lift you up, make you feel a little bit better. And as you go through life, there's going to be some down days. And it's so nice to have somebody encourage you, just to say just something just to make you feel a little bit better. But he says there's enemies of Christ. And he says this, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, means their own inward desires, not of the Lord, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind, and you ought to underline this, who mind earthly things. You see, once you trust Christ as Savior, you mind heavenly things or earthly things. It means that if you are spiritually minded, you mind the spirit. If you're fleshly minded, you mind the flesh. Because you have a spirit and you've got a flesh. And so which one determines what you do? And that's why I want you to look there in chapter 4. He says, but in verse 10, he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now, you see, your rejoicing has to do with how you're thinking. And if you're always thinking about your afflictions and how hard it is on you, how what I'm going through, and then you have a pity party. Poor me. Like I told you before, I don't have pity parties because nobody comes to them. But he says, I learn how to think. And so when he says here in these verses, in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and here's those words you want online, think on these things. You see, people try to get you to think differently, in different ways. And that's what either can encourage you or discourage you. And so you want to be encouraged in the Lord, then sometimes you have to hang around people that will encourage you in the things of the Lord. People that are always pulling you down, if you're not too strong, you're not going to ever get up. You need to get with the right kind of people. And that's why when I made up my mind to serve the Lord and I needed to learn how to do it, well, the best place for this fella was Bible college, because I had all these other students there who were there for the same reason. They knew the Lord, they loved the Lord, and they wanted to serve the Lord. So we encouraged one another. We encouraged one another. And you lived in that little environment for a while until you were strong enough to get out there and face the world. And sometimes, see, people get out and they're not strong. That's why if you want to be strong, you need church. You need to be involved as much as you possibly can, everything with the right people doing the right thing, because it's not easy out there. If you think it's hard, been a good testimony out there, it's sometimes hard to be one with those that already know the Lord and love the Lord. And that's why you need their prayers. But look what he says in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful. In other words, you were concerned, you wanted to, but you just lacked opportunity. In other words, he's talking about, you know, they hadn't supported him for a while. He depended upon love gifts from various churches to help him in the ministry. And so they didn't always have the means, and some of them just dropped Paul together. Paul went through an awful lot. You see, let me just show you that up there where he talks about in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So sometimes we need to understand, when we give to the Lord's work, we support missions and we support radio broadcast, there's fruit that will abound to your account. So that's really your best investment, is to do something that you can see that something is going to take place and you want some results. And Paul says, I, it's not because I want money, it's because I want some fruit for you. I want it to go into your account. So when you get to heaven, like Paul says, ye are my crown of rejoicing. You are my fruit. And so it was a very special thing for him. And that's why he says, not that I speak in respect, you know, of one, things like that. So Paul was under a lot of affliction. A lot of things went wrong in Paul's life. But he never quit. That's what I like about it, but he never quit. Go back here to Philippians in chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. But he says, I want you to pray for me. Though I'm in prison, I believe that I can be delivered by your prayers. You see, The greatest form of work for any Christian is prayer. You can accomplish more through prayer than any other form of work. And that's why God tells us all the time, pray without ceasing. Always pray. Pray about everything. And so he makes a statement here in verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, my deliverance from prison, through your prayer. You ought to underline it, through your prayer. See, Paul says when he starts off, he said, how I pray for you, I long for you. Well, now he says, I want you to pray for me. He says, I pray for you. I want you to pray for me. That sounds like a good deal. I pray for you and you pray for me. How many of you in this church, do you really pray for me? Was it? I should say, pray for me in the sense that you're for me, not against me. And we are supposed to pray for one another. It's a very potent thing. It's a powerful thing. And you don't have to understand how prayer works, only that it does work. And look what he says here. In the last part of verse 19, he says, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, over in the last chapter, talks about, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, but that's written to the ones that were meeting Paul's needs. My God shall supply your need, because they were meeting his need. Sometimes you need something, but you might have something that you can do for somebody else. And prayer is something everybody can always do. You may not always have money, but you can always pray. So you do what you can with what you have where you are. Now look what he says here in verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He says, but that with all boldness as always. So now also, and you ought to underline this, I think I told you this last week, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So whether I live or whether I die, Christ shall be magnified. In other words, you ever take a magnifying glass and look at it and you can move it back and so forth, and it makes it big, it magnifies it. Well, Christ wants to be magnified in our body. And sometimes to make him look better, you have to look smaller. For him to be stronger, you have to be weaker. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And Christ wants to be made bigger in the eyes of others. But he does it because he's living through us. And every one of us has a certain amount of potential that where God can use you in different ways. And you don't have to try to figure that out. Just yield to the Lord and let God do whatever God wants to do. And so he says here in verse 21, for me to live is football and to die is gain. For me to live is money. For me to live is, what should I put in that place there? For me to live is Christ to live. For me to live is Christ to live. Because he is living through me. So if he is magnified in my body, it means I must be living for him. And he should be the purpose of our life. For me to live is Christ to live. And to die is gain. So you don't lose when you die. We all know we're going to die one day, but remember that little poem that I wrote? As I look back over those years, it's clear to see a trail of tears. But there were treasures that we gained. We saw the rainbow through the rain. Believing the promises of God that gets you through all the afflictions that you go through. See, God doesn't remove all of our trials and troubles, afflictions. He just simply wants to give you the grace that you need to go through them. So Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul wasn't worried about dying. He knew that was in the Lord's hand. And if God wants him to live, fine. God wants me to die, that's fine. He says, I'm in a, I got mixed emotions. You know what mixed emotions are. It's like a being a long-haired hippie, but you're bald-headed. That's mixed emotions. Or to watching your mother-in-law going over the cliff in your new car. You know, do you just try to stop it, or you know, it's just mixed emotions. You don't really know what to do. Some of y'all are getting these little precious jewels, you know. But sometimes we have mixed emotions, and he says, these mixed emotions that I have, he said, I have the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He says, but it's more needful for you that I stay here. So why are you here? Because it's more needful for you here than there. God needs you here. Look what Paul says. He says in verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, it means in this physical body, still alive. Not talking about him living in sin, no. This is the fruit of my labor. In other words, what I'm going through, the sufferings that I have, the afflictions that I have, it's the price I pay for living in this life, in this world, in this body. That's what you're going to have in this life. Everybody has them. He says, yet what I shall choose, I know not. In other words, it's not my choice. I just want to magnify the Lord. If I live and if I die, I want God to get glory from my life. I've seen God get a lot of glory out of a lot of people's deaths. Because if there are funerals, when I do the funerals and I give the gospel, there's people who trust Christ as Savior. Now, let me just mention this to you. Some of you in here, you know, you're going to die. You may not make it to the rapture. Yet you have loved ones, that maybe have never trusted Christ as their Savior. So whenever you die, if you don't have it planned in advance, and somebody doesn't know what your wishes are for a particular pastor to give, you know, your funeral, you may have some relatives, they might get somebody completely off call that won't even give the gospel. Well, they might talk about what a wonderful person you are. But a funeral service, you're going fishing. You want people to trust the Lord at your funeral. And yet some of you probably won't have me as the pastor do your funeral because you won't tell nobody that that's what you want. And you'll wind up dying, and there'll be some priest or somebody that's totally off the wall do your funeral. And you'll be up in heaven saying, what in the world did I do that for? I should have got Yankee to do this. Or you're trying to get Hank to come back and do it. But you need to have it planned. So now who do you want to do your funeral? And you make sure your husband or your wife or your kids or whoever's in charge knows that. Write it on a piece of paper. Because when you die, don't you want the gospel to be given at your funeral? Well, not all preachers give the gospel. They can make it flowery, or they can make it pretty. See all kind of wonderful things. But when somebody lost comes, chances are they'll leave the same way. Majority of preachers don't know how to give the gospel unless they can give a forward invitation. I hate to say that. That's the truth. And if they can't do a forward invitation at a funeral, they won't even give it at all. There's a hint, oh, well, you need to trust the Lord. No, somebody that really hammers on it. And so, now, some of you will say, yeah, I need to do that. And we'll be going to your funeral, and you'll still be sitting up. I should have done that. Whether you live or whether you die, Christ is magnified. And so he says here, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And in verse 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and a desire to be with Christ. But look what he said. And to be with Christ, look what he said, which is far better. Regardless of what goes on in this life, regardless of your best day in this world, there is still far better. Now, we haven't seen it, but now I believe the Apostle Paul got a glimpse of heaven whenever he was stoned outside the city of Lystra. I believe he saw things, and he says, no man can talk about it. Can't explain it. He said, I came to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, unless I be exalted above measure, God gave me affliction, gave me a thorn in the flesh. But whatever it was that he saw, nothing stopped the Apostle Paul. He says, it is far better, far better. He's in verse 24, look how important this verse is. So whenever one of these days you wonder whether or not, man, why did God leave me here? Look at this. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And you ought to underline that. The only reason you're still here is because it's more needful for you to be here than for you to be there. He still has something he wants you to do. There's still a ministry for you to do. As long as you can breathe air, you have a purpose in living. And all of you seem like you're breathing pretty good so far. There's times when I don't feel like I'm breathing at all. I used to take in, any time I'd get in the water, man, first thing I want to do is go in the water and hold my breath. That just seemed like this. Betty will tell you this. I get in the water and just hold my breath. And I got where I could hold my breath for a long time. And sometimes she got kind of concerned. The next thing you know, she's kicking me, yanking you. Come up. And then after I'll come up. But it was a lot of fun when you can get the grandkids in the tank and they get on your back and they can ride horsey. And you can just stay in the water for a long time and they can ride horsey back. But it only takes one heartbeat to die or not to have it. And all of a sudden, he says, there's one heartbeat between me and death. We are so close to dying at any given time. We live only by the grace of God. You could have a stroke that quick or something happens just so fast. And sometimes it might be a long, lingering death, and you can see it coming. But whatever it is, I believe God will give you grace to face that. I wrote a poem to my mom when she found out she had incurable cancer. She had a tumor right behind her heart, and they couldn't operate. So she knew she had cancer. She knew she was going to die. And I wrote a poem called Dying Grace, that at the precise moment you need it, God will give you all the grace that you need. And it's kind of like new grace. You never had it before. I've had grace to face this and that and all the rest of the thing. But God will give you the grace that you need to face whatever you need to face that you've never faced before. But God is good. So he makes a statement, it's more needful for you. So Paul is letting them know, I'm here because you need me. I can help you. There's things God had taught the Apostle Paul that he was able to use it in their life because, hey, you're going to have the same conflict, the same problems that you saw me have, you're going to have too. And nobody gets out of this without it. We always are suffering in some way. The time upon this earth after we trust Christ as Savior is a time of suffering. You're suffering in some way. In comparison to what heaven is, yes, this is a place of suffering. But it says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be hereafter. In other words, it's going to be wonderful when we get to heaven. Look what else he says here in verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. See, it's not just about you. It's about who needs you. It's so that God can use you for the furtherance of somebody else's faith and their joy. See, this word furtherance here, I crossed it up there with that word in verse 12. Paul says, the things that have happened unto me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, gave me other opportunities. It's the problems in life that gives you other opportunities. So don't look at them in a bad way, but they're opportunities because God can use you in times of affliction to learn lessons that you wouldn't have learned no other way. And then that makes you more valuable because now you can be an encouragement to somebody else who's going through what you went through. And so when he says here, that you're rejoicing, in verse 26, you're rejoicing. See, it was, I abide here in the flesh, though I would desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it's more needful that I stay here because you need me. I'm concerned about your faith and you growing in the Lord. I'm concerned about your growth. And so he says in verse 27, 6, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. In other words, he told me, he said, I'm coming back to see you. I'm coming to see you again. He said, and I believe that because of your prayers for me, God will deliver me from where I am, and I'll come and see you again. Now, you see, you can read sometimes. You can read this, and you just read over it, and you see words. But to go back and enter into, like, the Apostle Paul, where he's at, how he's thinking, what he's going through, and you begin to see things that sometimes I don't think a lot of people see it because they just either read too fast and they just pass right over. But to think what he's actually saying. Now, remember that you don't have to know Hebrew and Greek to understand the Bible. You can twist Hebrew and Greek just like you can twist English. Just study the Word. Just study the Word. Get to where you know it, and you can quote the Scripture because you can see them on the pages where you get very familiar with it. Now, look what he says here in verse 27. Only let your conversation, your behavior, your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, you and I are supposed to live in such a way that enhances the message that we preach. See, I preached a sermon one time called The Man, the Message, the Motive. I thought that was a pretty good sermon. God uses the man, but a man's no good without a message. And so you got to have the man, you got to have the message, and you got to have a motive, and you got to have a method. In other words, what is the method that you're going to use? So my method for over the years in giving the gospel has always been the little wallet deal. And I've also used the arm illustration for the two natures. Those two things, I believe, is the best method for salvation and service that I know of. I've never seen anybody come out with anything better than those, so I keep using them. Now, if you know a better way and you don't tell me, I hope you get hiccups. I want the best. I want the best. But he said, only let your behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together, and you ought to underline that, for the faith of the gospel. Another place called by, and for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the faith of the gospel. In other words, see, there has to be a motive. Why do you do what you do? Why are you striving? There's got to be something that's bigger and better that drives you through all the tribulations you go through, all the afflictions that you have. Remember, there is a devil, and he's real, and he's alive, and he wants to work against you. He wants to keep you from loving the Lord. He wants to keep you from loving souls. He wants to keep you from giving of your time, your talent, your treasures for the sake of Christ.
Do you have to be baptized in water to be saved and go to heaven? Would that make the person who baptized you your Savior? There are at least five baptisms in the Bible. Which one gets you to heaven? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.